بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. Firstly, I'd like to welcome all of the brothers and also the sisters to our second monthly gathering. And this lecture or this gathering is to talk about and remind each other about the importance of following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah azza wa jal, He created us and He created all of creation. And He provided for us and He provided for all of creation. And this earth which Allah has created, it has been created for mankind, for us to use, for us to benefit from, for us to enjoy. Allah said in the Quran, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُم مَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. He is the one who has created for you the earth, all of it. All of the earth has been created for mankind in order for us to use and us to enjoy and us to benefit from. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He made the affairs of our life easy. And He guaranteed for us our rizq. And He blessed us with many blessings. And because of all of these blessings, and how easy He has made our life for us, and guaranteed our life and our rizq, then the obligation upon us is that we show shukr to Allah. We thank Allah, and we show gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is through worshipping Him. Allah said in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O people, O mankind, worship your Lord, the one who has created you and those before you, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So you may develop at-taqwa. And Allah said in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create jinn nor mankind except that they should worship me. مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ. I don't want from them any form of rizq. I don't want from them that they should give me any food. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Rather Allah, He is الرَّزَّاق, the one who gives rizq to everything and everybody. ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. And He is the one who has the great might and the great power. So, therefore, the obligation upon us as humans is that we show thanks and shukr to Allah through His worship. However, He didn't order us just to worship Him, rather that we worship Him alone with at-tawheed. And we don't worship anybody besides Allah. Because if Allah is the one who has created us, and if Allah, He is the one who has provided for us, and if it is Allah alone who blesses us with all these blessings, then why is it that we should not worship Him alone? Allah said in the Quran, الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا. He is the one who has made the earth a plain bed or a plain land for you. هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءً. And the one who has created the sky as a roof over you. وَأَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. And He is the one who sends down rain from the skies, or water from the skies. فَأَخْرَجَ لَكُمْ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ. And He is the one who produces from the earth, because of Him sending down this rain, fruits and vegetation. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. So do not create partners for Allah in your worship, and you know. Meaning you know that He is the sole creator. He is the only raziq. He is the one who has blessed you, therefore don't make partners to Him in His worship. And Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, when he was rahimahullah, in his tafsir of this ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, he said, Al-Khaliqu li-hadhihi al-ashya' huwa al-mustahiqu lil-ibadah. That the one who has created all of these things, the earth and the skies and the water and the fruits and your rizq, He is the one who is deserving of your worship. And only is He deserving of your worship. So when this becomes known, then Allah Azza wa Jal, He sent His messengers. And He revealed with them His books. And the messengers who came, the prophets who came, and the books that were revealed, These things were sent, and the messengers came with two main objectives, or only two objectives, and two missions. The first objective is to remind us and to command us with at-tawheed, that we worship Allah alone, and we don't worship anybody else besides Allah, and to teach us about who our Lord is, who is the one who should be worshipped, what are his names and attributes and descriptions and characteristics and actions, and what is he deserving of. And this was the subject of the lecture last month, who is your Lord. And then the second objective or mission of all of the prophets and also the books was to teach us how to worship Allah, and what are those things that we are allowed to do and those things which we are not allowed to do, and how should we worship Allah in terms of the things we do and the statements that we make. These are the main two objectives of the sending down of the prophets, the sending of the prophets and the messengers, and the sending down of the books. So Nuh alayhi salam came, Lut alayhi salam, Hud, Ad, Salih, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa, Isa, Muhammad alayhim salam, all of them came with these two messages. Ya qawm i'budullah ma lakum bihi min ilahin ghayru. O my people, worship Allah, you have no other deity besides him. Wa'budullah wa la tushriku bihi shay'a. Worship Allah alone and do not make partners to him in your worship. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعْبُدُونَ. O Muhammad, we did not send a messenger before you except that we reveal to him that there is no other deity worthy of worship except me, so worship me. And then the second job or mission, as I mentioned, is to teach the people how they should worship Allah. Because worshipping Allah, ibadah, there are some things that we can learn through experience. There are some things that we can pick up from other people. There are some things that our intelligence and our logic tells us to do and not to do. However, when it comes to the worship of Allah, then we have to have a teacher. Because the one who we are worshipping is from the matter of the unseen, from ilm al-ghayb. And therefore, to know that which pleases him can only come from his revelation. And those who brought his revelation were the prophets and the messengers. So how to worship Allah requires a teacher. And the teacher was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then those who came before him. So there is no way to worship Allah except through following the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, i.e. through the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There is no way to acquire and achieve the happiness and the pleasure and the love of Allah except through the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah said in the Quran, لِكُلِّنْ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةٌ وَمِنْهَاجًا. For each one of you, i.e. each one of the prophets and the messengers, for each one of you, we made a minhaj and a shir'ah. Meaning, we gave you a specific path and rules and guidelines, a sharia. Each messenger came with his own sharia. So all of the prophets, they shared the same objective of at-tawheed and the core of Islam. And then the various messengers, they differed in their specific sharia, in the laws and the rules and the acts of worship. And this is what's meant by minhaj and shir'a, i.e. guidelines and a way and a path and a sunnah. And Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, and he was from the famous companions who were skilled and knowledgeable regarding the Quran, when he was explaining this ayah, لِكُلِّمْ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةٌ وَمِنْهَاجًا, he said, إِنَّ اِقْتِصَادٌ فِي سَبِيلٍ وَالسُنَّةٍ, that for a person to do less, to do little, but upon the path and the sunnah of the prophets, خَيْرٌ مِّنْ اِجْتِهَادٍ فِي خِلَافِ سَبِيلٍ وَالسُنَّةٍ, is better for a person than doing many, many acts of worship, and yet these acts are against the path and against the sunnah. فَانْظُرُوا أَن يَكُونَ عَمَلُكُمْ, so look into your actions. In kana ijtihadan aw iqtisadan, whether there are many actions or whether there are few actions, ala minhaj al-anbiya wa sunnatihim, that all of your actions, little or many, are upon the minhaj, upon the guidelines and the methodology of the prophets and also the sunnah of the prophets. And when we say minhaj al-nabi or sunnah al-nabi or manhaj al-nabi, then this covers all of the religion, i.e. we have to follow the guidelines and the sunnah and the path and the methodology, the manhaj of the prophet, in our aqidah, in our belief, and in our worship, and in our akhlaq, in our manners and morals, and the guidelines of the prophet when it comes to our marriages, nikah and talaq and funerals, jihad, da'wah, dhikr, all of these things. We have to follow the manhaj of the Nabi, the manhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even how we deal with those people who oppose our message, in dealing with the non-Muslims, in dealing with the people of innovation and the innovators, then we have to follow the manhaj, the guidelines and the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the companions who came after them. And this is something which is important. Number one, following the sunnah, and also being upon the manhaj, the way and the methodology of the Prophet and the companions and the Salaf when it comes to dealing with innovations, bid'ah, and the people of innovation, i.e. the innovators. And many innovations have entered into our masajid due to the leniency of the people when it comes to innovations and how we deal with the innovators, those people who spread and call to the innovations, that we allow them to come to our masajid and to enter into our sittings and give lectures and affect the people. And this is something which isn't permitted, and it's not from the manhaj of the Nabi, the manhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the Sahaba who came after them. And we have various jama'at of da'wah, and jama'at of at-tabligh, and jama'at of as-siyasa, politics, and jama'at of islah, of rectifying the Muslim ummah. This is what they claim to do. And all of them, we see that they are opposing the manhaj, the methodology, and the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in da'wah, in tabligh, in islah, in bringing rectification to the ummah. So I say that it's not permitted for a person to worship Allah except according to the worship of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah said in the Quran, "Man yuti'i ar-rasul faqad ata'a Allah." Whoever obeys and follows the guidelines of the messenger, he is the one who has obeyed Allah. And this ayah shows that there's no way for a person to worship and achieve the pleasure of Allah except through the obedience of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the reason why I mention this is because we have Muslims today, and their intentions are good, and they want to worship Allah, and they want to seek closeness to Allah. However, they do actions which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't do, even though their intentions are good, and they want to show their love and demonstrate the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this ayah shows that this can only be done through the obedience of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anybody who comes along and says that they want to make dhikr of Allah, for example, but they don't do it in the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this isn't accepted from them. Why? مَن يُطِعِ الرَّسُولُ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهُ. The one who shows obedience to the Messenger of Allah through following his sunnah in worship, he is the one who has shown obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. And for this reason, everything which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with in terms of worship, we have to do. And everything which he didn't do and he ordered us to leave alone, then we have to leave alone. وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا. Whatever the Messenger comes with, take it, i.e. from the acts of worship. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. And whatever he forbids you from doing, then stay away from it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I mentioned, like the prophets before him, was sent with this objective, to teach his ummah how to worship Allah. So I'll give you an example. Some of the companions, a group of them, amongst them was a famous companion called Malik ibn Huwairith, and the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. A group of them came from a land to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they stayed with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet used to teach them about the prayer, the statements that they should make in the prayer, and the actions they should make in the prayer. And he explained every single aspect and position of the prayer. And when he had finished, he said to them, "Irji'u ila ahlikum." Now go back to your families. "Wa'allimuhum," and teach them. "Wa'murruhum," and command and order them. "Wa'sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli," and pray as you have seen me praying. And often this hadith is mentioned, but only with this wording, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli," pray as you have seen me praying. But the full hadith is, "Irji'u ila ahlikum," go back to your family members. "Wa'allimuhum wa muruhum," and teach them, educate them, and order them, and command them. "Wasallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli," and pray as you have seen me praying. "فَإِذَا حَضَرَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَلْيُؤَذِّنْ أَحَدُكُمْ," so when the prayer comes, then let one of you make the adhan. "وَلْيُؤُمُّكُمْ أَكْبَرُكُمْ," and let the one who is most senior and older amongst you, let him lead the prayer. In another example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did Hajjatul Wida, the final hajj, the final pilgrimage, and he took many companions with him. And he would stop and teach them and show them how to make hajj. And then when he had finished, he said in the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhuma in Sahih Muslim, "Khudu anni manasikakum," take from me the rituals of your hajj. And in another wording, "Unduru ma amartukum bihi faf'alu," look at those things which I have ordered you to do, and then do them. And that this was in hajj. So these two ahadith regarding the prayer and the hajj, both of them can be used as a core principle in every other aspect of religion. That we worship Allah how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam worshiped Allah. We take the rituals which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. So this is now a principle in our religion, that any act of worship that a person wants to do, any act of worship which a person wants to do in order to please Allah or take him close to Allah, and it is an act of worship, then it is only accepted if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this. And this is the same whether it's in the prayer or hajj or zakah or dhikr, how a person makes dhikr of Allah, jihad, da'wah, hubb al-nabi, how you demonstrate your love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the funerals, the days that we celebrate, the Eid and the festivals that we bring. Everything has to be in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah said in the Quran, "لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمُ الْآخِرُ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهُ كَثِيرًا." Indeed for you is in the Messenger of Allah a good example, a good model, meaning a good example in how you should worship Allah. For the one who has hope in Allah, لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهِ, for the one who has hope in Allah and the final day, and makes much dhikr of Allah. So if you want, or if you hope the reward of Allah, and if you hope the reward of the final day, and if you want to be amongst those people who make dhikr of Allah, then you have to take the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as your uswatun hasana, as your role model in terms of the acts of worship. Worship Allah as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to worship Allah. In the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Taraktu fikum amrain, lan tudillu ba'di ma tamassaktum bihima." I have left behind me for you two matters. As long as you hold on firm to these two matters, you will never become misguided. You will never become astray. What are these two matters? Kitabullah wa sunnati, the book of Allah and my sunnah. And for this reason, we had a generation or centuries of ulama who came, the muhaddithin, the ahlul hadith, they came and they conveyed and narrated to us the hadith and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They taught us how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to worship Allah and what he taught the companions. And they came and they warned against the innovations. And they used to warn against the innovators, those people who spread the innovations. And therefore this became a sign or an indicator of your iman and how close you are to the sunnah. Your iman is according to your love of the sunnah and your love of the people of the sunnah. So from our iman is loving Imam al-Bukhari rahimullah, and Imam Muslim, and Imam Abu Hanifa, and Imam al-Shafi, and Imam Ahmad, and all of the scholars up until our time today. And also from our iman is hating the innovations and hating the innovators, the mubtadi' and the ahlul bid'ah. This is what shows the strength of the Islam of a person, his love for the sunnah and the people of the sunnah, and his hatred for innovation, bid'ah, and also the innovators, the people of innovation. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alayhim ridwanullah, they understood these matters. And they understood the importance of following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and staying far away from committing acts of bid'ah, innovations which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not do. And many statements have been narrated from the companions. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, "Inna naqtadi wa la nabtadi." We imitate and we follow and we don't start new things. "Wa nattabi' wa la nabtadi'." And we obey the Messenger of Allah, وَلَا نَبْتَدِعْ, and we don't innovate into this religion. وَلَن نُضِلَّ مَا تَمَسَّكْنَا بِالْأَمْرِ, and we will never become misguided as long as we hold on to this affair, i.e. sticking to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and staying away from innovations. Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimullah, he narrates, and he said regarding the companions, كَانُوا يَرَوْنَ أَنَّهُمْ عَلَى الطَّرِيقِ مَا تَمَسَّكُوا بِالْأَثَرِ, that they, the companions, they used to know and consider that as long as they hold on to the athar, the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then they will be upon the tariq, upon the correct straight way. And it's narrated that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said, أُنَاسٌ يُجَادِلُونَكُمْ بِشُبَهِ الْقُرْآنِ, that people will come and they will debate with you with doubts from the Qur'an. They will use doubts and ayat from the Qur'an, or they will use ayat from the Qur'an as a doubt. فَخُذُوهُمْ بِسُنَنْ, so take them and reply to them with the sunan, with the statements and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَإِنَّ أَهْلَ السُنَنِ أَعْلَمُ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ, because the people of the sunnah, the people who know the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are most knowledgeable of the Book of Allah. And this shows that there's no way for a person to practice and understand Islam and understand the Quran except through the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This shows the falsehood of those groups that we have who say we will accept the Quran, but in the Sunnah there is some doubt, or we take from the Quran and we don't take from the Sunnah. It's not possible for a person to understand Islam and the Quran except through the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And because the companions, the sahaba, they used to hold on firm to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then following the ways of the companions also became a sunnah that we have to follow, especially the senior companions and especially the khulafa al-rashideen. And the famous hadith of al-Irbad ibn Sariyah in Sunan Abi Dawud and Tirmidhi, he said, وعظنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم موعظة بليغة, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he gave us a very deep admonishment or a deep reminder. وجلت منه القلوب وذرفت منه العيون, the hearts began to tremble from this reminder that the Prophet gave, and the eyes began to shed tears. فقلنا يا رسول الله, so we said, O Messenger of Allah, كَأَنَّهَا مَوْعِظَةُ مُوَدِّعٍ, it's as if you are giving a reminder as a person who is leaving us, meaning that we're not going to see you after this. فَأُوْسِنَا, so advisors, counselors. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أُوْسِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ, I counsel and advise you with the taqwa of Allah. وَالسَّمْعُ وَالطَّاعَةُ وَإِن تَأَمَّرَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَبْدٌ حَبَشِي, and I advise and counsel you to listen and to obey the people of authority, even if it is an Abyssinian slave. And then after this he said, and this is the point here, وَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيْرَ اخْتِلَافٍ كَثِيرًا. Indeed, whoever lives long after you, then he will see much differing amongst the people. عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّةِ وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ. Upon you is my sunnah and the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashidin al-Mahdiyin. عَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِدِ. Hold on firm to it with your molar teeth. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْمُحْدَثَاتِ. And be aware of the newly innovated matters. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. Because every innovation is a misguidance. And there's two important points that relate to us in this hadith. Number one, the Prophet obliged upon us to follow his sunnah and the way of the companions in the Khulafa al-Rashideen, and he also called it a sunnah. وَالسُنَّةُ الْخُلَفَاءَ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِينَ. And that's why our call, the call of those people called to the way of the Salaf and the people of hadith, isn't only to the Qur'an and the Sunnah, but the Qur'an and the Sunnah and the Sunnah of the Sahaba, the understanding of the companions and then the great Imams who came afterwards. And then when he told the people to follow his Sunnah and the Sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashideen, then he said, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ. And then stay away from the innovations. So the Sunnah is that which is found in the statements and the actions of the Prophet, and the statements and the actions and the understanding of the companions. And the innovations is that which opposes both of these things. And Allah said in the Quran, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَىٰ. Whoever opposes the messenger after guidance has been made clear to him, وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and follows a way other than the way of the believers, نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Then we will leave him to the way which he has chosen, and take him to the fire, and how evil a destination this is. In this ayah, if you consider the wording of the ayah, Allah mentioned, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ, whoever opposes the way of the messenger, sunnah of the messenger, clear. مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَىٰ, after the guidance has been made clear to him. Then he said, وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and he follows a way other than the believers. And who are the mu'minun? They are the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. So not only is it haram for us and impermissible for us to oppose the way of the messenger, but also it's impermissible for us to follow a way other than the way of the companions. And this is a very important point, especially when it comes to da'wah. Any sect, any group that you go to, guided or misguided, when you ask them for evidences, they will bring you evidences. They will bring you ayat from the Quran and a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Even the Shia, the Rawafid, they will bring you doubts from the Quran for their misguidances. And the Sufi and all the other people, they bring you their doubts from the Quran and the Sunnah. However, their mistake isn't that they didn't take from the Quran and the Sunnah, but their mistake is that they didn't understand the Quran and the Sunnah according to the understanding of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So when, for example, you say to a person, why do you, as an example, celebrate the innovated Mawlid, the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? He will say, Allah said this in the Quran, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said this in a hadith, and Allah said this in the Quran, and so on and so forth. So the question that we ask him, that now that you have bought these ayats from the Quran and these ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, let us now look into the understanding of the Sahaba to these ayat and these ahadith. Did the Sahaba and the Salaf of this Ummah, the great Imams of this Ummah, the Tabi'een and the Atba Tabi'een, did they understand these ayat and these ahadith in the way that you have understood? Did they implement these ayat and these ahadith according to the way which you have implemented? So no doubt, it's important for all of us to know the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to follow the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We know the Sunnah and we also know the people of Sunnah. And just as it's important for us to know the innovations, we teach people the Sunnah and we also teach people the innovations so they can stay away from the innovations. We teach people the goodness, but at the same time we tell them about the evil so people can stay away from the evil. And that's why it's a mistake for a person to say that I'm only going to come and I'm just going to encourage people with the sunnah, but I'm not going to warn against the innovation. I'm only going to encourage the people with the people of the sunnah, but I'm not going to warn against the innovators or the people of innovation. This is a mistake. In the famous hadith of Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu anhu, he said, كَانَ النَّاسِ يَسْأَلُونَ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ عَنِ الْخَيْرِ. The people, they used to ask the Prophet about the good matters, the goodness. وَكُنْتُ أَسْأَلُهُ عَنِ الشَّرِ. And I used to ask him about the evil things so I can stay away from them. So we teach people the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we also teach people about the innovations so they can stay away from the innovations. And we warn against the innovators and the people of innovation so they can stay away from these people. And mistakes have crept in the masajid, even in some of our own masajid, some of the masajid of the Ahlul Hadith, when they became easy with people that they do not know, or allowing people who have leniencies with innovators and innovations into their masajid. This is something which is very important. And this is a responsibility upon the shoulders of the people, that those people who come to our masajid in order to give lectures, I'm not talking about the common people who come to pray with us, the common Muslims out there, we invite them and we speak to them, we give them da'wah. But those people who are stubborn and spread their innovations and their misguidances, we don't allow them into the masajid in order to give lectures and spread their innovations. In finishing this short gathering, it's important that we understand the meaning of the word as-sunnah, because sometimes people, they misunderstand the word as-sunnah. So for example, they'll say that, is using the miswak sunnah? Yes, it is a sunnah. But is it an obligation? No, it isn't an obligation. Is keeping the beard a sunnah? Yes, it is a sunnah. Does that mean that keeping a beard therefore is also not an obligation because it's a sunnah? And like this, people have doubts on other aspects of the sunnah. So of course, sunnah, sunnatun, seen, noon, and ta marbuta, sunnatun, it's an Arabic word. And the meaning of sunnatun in the Arabic language, not in the Islamic context, just in the Arabic language, it means tariqatun, maslukatun, or muttaba'atun, hasanatun, kanat, am sayyah. It is a path or a way which is being followed, whether it is good or whether it is bad. So we can say that the sunnah of this person, it is evil. Meaning the path that this person is following, it is evil. We're not referring to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just in the Arabic language. The sunnah or the path of this person which he follows, it is evil. Or the sunnah or the path which this person is following, it is good. And this is the meaning of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ سَنَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سُنَّةً حَسَنَةً فَلَهُ أَجْرُهَا وَأَجْرُ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهَا. Whoever brings or whoever revives a path, whoever revives a good path, then for him is its reward and the reward of those people who follow his guidance in reviving this path. وَمَنْ سَنَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سُنَّةً سَيِّئَةً. And whoever brings about a sunnah, meaning a path which is sayyah, which is evil, then for him is the punishment and the punishment of all those people who followed him. And some of the people of innovation, they use this hadith, on this hadith, in order to justify the innovation. They said, look, here the Prophet said, مَنْ سَنَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سُنَّةً حَسَنَةً. Whoever introduces into Islam a new action which is good, and therefore bid'ah hasana is permitted. And this isn't the meaning of this hadith. Firstly, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't say, مَنْ ابْتَدَعَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ بِدْعَةً حَسَنَةً. Whoever innovates into Islam a good innovation. He said, مَنْ سَنَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سُنَّةً حَسَنَةً. Whoever revives a sunnah, a good sunnah in al-Islam. And this is like the other wordings of this hadith. مَنْ دَلَّ عَلَى الْهُدَى. Whoever shows the people an act of goodness, then for him is the reward of doing it and the reward of all those people who followed him. وَمَنْ دَلَّ النَّاسَ عَلَى الضَّلَالَةِ. And whoever shows the people a way of misguidance, then for upon him is the punishment of doing it and those people who followed him. So this is the meaning of this hadith, مَنْ سَنَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. This is the meaning of sunnah in the Arabic language. When it comes to understanding the word as-sunnah within the Islamic context, or as an Islamic terminology, when we read the books of Islam, the books of the Muhaddithin and the Fuqaha and the Ulama, then the word Sunnah, it has different meanings according to which group of scholars use this word. So when Ahlul Hadith, the people of Hadith, the Muhaddithun, those people who brought about and narrated and conveyed and compiled the Hadith, when they use the word as Sunnah in their books, then it means something. And when the Fuqaha, the people of Fiqh, those scholars who specialize in Fiqh, when they mention the word of Sunnah, it means something totally different to it. And when other scholars, the scholars of Aqidah, if you want to say, when they use the word as Sunnah, then it means completely something else. And all of these three things are different. So when the Muhaddithin, the people of Hadith, when they say Sunnah, then they mean Aqwalun Nabiyyi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the statements of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, wa af'aluhu, and the actions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, wa taqriratuhu, and the situations in which the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam remained silent as a form of approval, and I will explain each one. Wa sifatuhu al-khalqiyya wal-khuluqiyya, and the descriptions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whether it's his physical description or whether it's his manners and his morals. Wa akhbaruhu, and also everything which has been mentioned about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when the Muhaddithin, the people of Hadith, when they say Sunnah, this is what they're referring to. The statements, actions, tacit approvals, the physical appearance, and the manners and the morals of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Are they referring to the seerah of the Prophet? And this is whether it's before he became a Prophet or after he became a Prophet. When they say Sunnah, it includes all of the seerah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So for example, the statements of the Prophet. The Prophet said, "Innamal a'malu binniyat." Indeed, all actions are according to their intentions. Any statement that we find, then this is a sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. With regards to his actions, how the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to physically implement the revelation which Allah sent him. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates, as an example, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ إِذَا قَامَ لِلصَّلَاةِ, that the Messenger of Allah, when he used to stand for the prayer, كَانَ يُكَبِّرُ حِينَ يَقُومُ, he used to say the takbir, say Allahu Akbar when he stood up, وَيُكَبِّرْ حِينَ يَرْقَعَ, and then he used to say the takbir when he went into his ruku'. So here the companion has narrated to us a sunnah of the Prophet in terms of his actions, how he used to stand, and how he used to make ruku, and what he used to say. And then we have the taqrirat, which is translated as a tacit approval. And this is when something was done in the presence of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he didn't say anything. Neither did he say this is good, and neither did he say that this is bad. He remained silent. And because he remained silent, then this action is permitted for us to do. And the famous example which the Muhaddithin they use is when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sat with Khalid bin Walid, and lizard was brought to them, the meat of lizard, it was cooked, and Khalid bin Walid ate it, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam remained silent and he did not eat it. Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam remained silent and he knew that Khalid bin Walid was eating it in front of him, then this is now the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, meaning that the Prophet has tacitly approved and allowed for this action to be done, and therefore it is permitted. And as for the physical descriptions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then in the hadith, the companion narrated, مَا كَانَ النَّبِيُّ Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam بِالطَّوِيلِ الْبَائِنِ, that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he wasn't extremely tall. وَلَا بِالْقَسِيرِ, and he wasn't very short. وَلَا بِالْأَبْيَضَ الْأَمْهَقِ, and neither was he extremely white. وَلَا الْأَدَمْ, and neither was he brown, meaning he was in the middle. And then we have the manners and the morals and the characteristics of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As Jarir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu narrates in Sahih Bukhari, مَا رَآنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مُنْذُ أَسْلَمْتُ, that the Messenger of Allah, he never met me from the time that I accepted Islam, illa tabassama fi wajhi, except that he smiled in my face. He smiled in front of me. So this was from the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. that whenever he came across companions, and Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali says, since I accepted Islam, I never met him except that he would smile in front of me. So this is now a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is with the muhaddithun. The sunnah meaning the seerah. When it comes to the fuqaha, the ulama of fiqh, then they understand or use the word sunnah to mean something else. They say, kullu ma thabata anin nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everything which has been authentically narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, min al aqwal, from his statements, wal af'al, and his actions, wal taqrirat, wa lam yakun mafroodan wala wajiban, and it isn't fard or wajib, it isn't an obligation. Meaning, when they say sunnah, they are referring to the acts which are nafal, everything which the Prophet said and did, but it wasn't an obligation. So using the miswak, it is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he used to do it, but it isn't wajib, and therefore it's sunnah, meaning it is nafal, or it is mustahab, or it is mandub, and all of these wordings you can use for a sunnah in this context. And then you have the other ulama, and when they said as-sunnah, what they meant by as-sunnah is al-Islam. So in some context and some usage from the scholars, the word sunnah, it means Islam, or the word sunnah, it means the aqidah, or the word sunnah, it means the principles of this religion, or it means the manhaj, the methodology. And for this reason, many of the great imams like Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal and Al-Imam Barbahari rahimahumullah, they wrote small books and they called them as-sunnah or usul as-sunnah. And the meaning here as-sunnah isn't the meaning of the muhaddithin, the fuqaha, but the religion or the core principles of this religion, or the foundations, the methodology and the aqidah of this religion. So for this reason, Imam Ahmad rahimullah, he said in his book, he said, usul sunnati indana atamassaku bima kana alayhi ashab rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, that the principles of the sunnah with us, meaning the principles of Islam with us, is that we are upon the way of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we imitate them. And also Imam al-Barbahari, and he died in 329 Hijri, he said, al-Islam huwa sunnah, that Islam, it is the sunnah, wa sunnatu hiya al-Islam, and the sunnah, it is Islam, wa la yaqumu ahaduhuma bil-akhir, and one cannot be established without the other. So those ulama, when they said as-sunnah, they meant the religion, and they meant the aqidah, and they meant the principles, and this is in opposition to bid'ah. And when we talk about the importance of sunnah and following the sunnah, then we're not necessarily talking about the meaning of the fuqaha or the meaning of the muhaddithin, even though there's an overlap between all of these meanings. We're referring to the usage, the general usage of following the way of the Prophet and following Islam, being upon the correct methodology and following the principles of Islam. And the opposite of this is the bid'ah. Stick to the sunnah, meaning the foundations and the principles of the way of the Prophet, and stay away from the innovations. If we understood now the meaning of a sunnah, so if I say, for example, to wash your limbs in wudu 3 times, this is a sunnah. Are we referring to the understanding of the muhaddithin, or the fuqaha, or the other scholars who use it generally? When we say the sunnah is to follow, the sunnah is to wash your limbs in wudu 3 times, which sunnah are we referring to? We're referring to the understanding of the fuqaha, because what we mean here now, that this is an action which the Prophet used to do, but it's not an obligation. It's something which is permitted. The obligation is that you wash the limb once, and then it's nafal or mustahab to wash it 3 times. So when we say the sunnah is to wash the limb 3 times, this is the understanding of the fuqaha. But when we say that it is a sunnah to grow the beard, then we're talking about, we can say about the general, that it is from Islam, and it is an innovation not for a person to grow his beard like this. And then obviously when we mention things about the seerah, then this is the understanding of the muhaddithin. The final thing which is important to understand is who are Ahlu Sunnah, who are they? What is meant by the term Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah? What is meant by the term Sunni? Sunni or Ahlu Sunnah, Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah? And this is important because Nowadays, it's strange that even people in our masjid, they'll say to a person, do you go to the Sunni masjid? And they're not referring to this masjid, they're referring to a masjid of the other groups. And it's become known, they say, are you Sunni or are you Ahl al-Hadith? Are you Sunni or are you Wahhabi? Are you Sunni or are you Hanbali? And like these misconceptions and confusions that we find. It's not permitted for us to use the word Sunni when it comes to the people of innovation. Sunni and Ahlu Sunnah are Ahlu Sunnah, those people who are upon the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wal Jama'a, and the meaning of Jama'a is to come together and be congregated, i.e. those people who are upon the way upon which the companions congregated upon. This is what Imam al-Barbahari said when it came to Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'a. Ahlu Sunnah, those who follow the Sunnah of the Messenger, wal Jama'a, those who follow the Ijma', the agreements of the companions. And we can say that the meaning of Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'a is those people who follow the Sunnah and those people who are united upon the Sunnah and they follow the great Imams of the Sunnah and they don't become divided and leave off the guidance of the great Imams of the Sunnah. So when it comes to using the word Sunni or Ahlu Sunnah or Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'a, then this refers to the people of the Sunnah. And whether you use Ahlu Sunnah or you use Ahlul Hadith or you use Ahlul Athar, the people follow the narrations, or you use the word Salafiyun or Salafis, all of these terms and descriptions mean exactly the same thing. In some countries they will say Ahlu Sunnah. In some countries, like for example in Pakistan, India, and the Indian subcontinent, they use the word Ahlul Hadith. In other countries, like for example some of the Arab countries, they use the word Salafi. All of these words mean the same thing, i.e. the people stick to the Sunnah and the guidance and the manhaj, the methodology of the Prophet, the companions, and the Salaf who came after them. We leave it at this, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a correct understanding of the Sunnah and to make us firm upon the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.